Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A king is a ruler over a kingdom. His authority is supreme. He's sovereign. It's unsurpassed. He occupies his throne, which indicates his power and his dignity and his rank. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is king, ruling over his spiritual kingdom, having all power, authority, and preeminence, reigning from his throne which is in heaven. He is king now. His kingship is a basic and vital matter concerning the central personality of the Bible. It refers to a specific role that he, the Son of God, performs. His kingdom and kingship have been prophesied many times in the Old Testament. In Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter is a staff of authority belonging to a king. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. The word Shiloh means peace. Jesus was the Prince of Peace, bringing spiritual peace between God and man. This was a prophecy uttered by Jacob concerning Judah and the descendants of Judah, which would be Jesus Christ. To David it was said, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. This prophecy did not speak of Solomon, but of Christ, inasmuch as the throne given to the descendant of David would be forever. Jesus was the descendant of David and sits on David's throne. David was a type of Christ, and David's kingdom was an earthly kingdom that was a type of the Lord's spiritual kingdom. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Jeremiah 30 and verse 9, "But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." The one to serve would reign after David's death, would be a seed of David, would be called the branch. Zechariah 6, 12 and 13 provides us a very significant piece of information on this matter. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." Notice, this one called the branch would be a king and a priest at the same time. He would sit on the throne and build the Lord's temple. Please notice that the branch is the same name earlier mentioned that would be the seed of David, who would sit on David's throne. The kingdom was again prophesied in Isaiah 2 and verse 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." The term mountain is a figurative term for government. Here is the forecast of the establishment of the government of God. Verse 3 reads, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The government of the Lord, why, that's the church that was established in the city of Jerusalem, Christ being the founder of the church. In Isaiah 11 and verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse was the father of David. Jesus was of the seed of David. Therefore he is of the stem of Jesse, again called the branch. Paul specifically referred to this prophecy at Isaiah 11:1, as we read in Romans 15 and verse 12. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Paul applies that Old Testament prophecy to Christ, showing that Christ was of the stem of Jesse and the seed of David, the branch who would reign over the Gentiles as well as over the Jews. We noted that the one who would be king would also build God's temple. The church is God's temple, Ephesians 2:20 through 22, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 and 16. And Christ is the head and founder of the church, having preeminence over it, Colossians 1 and verse 18. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his throne to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now these are a few of the Old Testament prophecies, I've read them to you, concerning the kingship of Christ and the kingdom of Christ, the one of Judah, the seed of David, whose kingdom would begin at Jerusalem, having reign over both Jew and Gentile, the one called the branch, the Prince of Peace, the one who served as king and priest, and at the same time, the one who was founder and head of the church, the government of God. With all such prophecies pointing to a coming king and a coming kingdom, we can understand the expectation and the anticipation of the Jews for just such as this. It is true that they misunderstood the nature of the kingdom. They misunderstood the nature of the king that was to come. But both had been foretold by the prophets of God. We must note the references connecting Christ to the throne of David. The concept of David's throne was first introduced in 2 Samuel 3:9 and 10, when the earthly kingdom of Saul was to be taken from him and was to be given to David. David was promised that his seed would reign forever. Now this was not referenced to Solomon, because his reign ended when he turned his kingdom over to his son Rehoboam. These prophecies referred to Christ. While the one to reign would reign while David was in the tomb, 2 Samuel 7:12 through 16, therefore his reign would be prior to the resurrection of Christ's return when David and all others will be raised. Inasmuch as the resurrection will occur at his return, we know that the reign prophesied would be before the Lord's return, while David was still in the tomb and not after the Lord's return. This alone sinks the ship of premillennial fantasy. The throne of David, it is called the throne of Israel. It is called the throne of the Lord. The throne of God is also called the throne of Christ. If the kingdom is his, and obviously it is, the kingdom of heaven is the same as the kingdom of God. It was announced at the birth of Jesus that he would sit on David's throne, Luke 1:32 and 33. When Peter gave the meaning of David's prophecy in Acts chapter 2, he showed it had reference to Christ, who assumed the throne after his resurrection. The kingdom was not in existence during the days of John the Baptist, when John was preaching that the kingdom was at hand. Jesus taught the kingdom was at hand during his personal ministry. In fact, in addition to Jesus and John, the 12 apostles and the 70 the Lord sent forth to preach, they all preached that the kingdom was yet to come, but it was at hand, nearby, soon to be. But it was not established during the life of Christ here upon this earth. Some who misunderstood the nature of his kingdom misunderstood its purpose, misunderstood the time of his coming, would have taken Jesus and forced him to become an earthly king. John 6 and verse 15. But Jesus did not teach that the kingdom would come with power that would establish an earthly kingdom. He did say it would come with power, but he identified that power as the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, and the kingdom was established in Jerusalem that day. The Old Testament prophets had foretold when the kingdom was to come. Daniel, the second chapter, Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream as representing four earthly kingdoms. Verse 44 says, in the days of the fourth kingdom, God would establish his kingdom. The four kingdoms, beginning with Babylon, were Persia and Greece and Rome. Friend, it was in the days of Rome that the kingdom was to come. It was in the days of Rome that the church began. In Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14, and in Acts 2:34, we learn that the kingdom would be given after the Son of Man went to the Ancient of Days. This referred to Jesus ascending into heaven to the Father. In the Lord's parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19, the nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. He did not return before receiving the kingdom, but after receiving the kingdom. And again, Jesus will not return to receive the kingdom, having received it when he went into heaven. This is another death blow to premillennialism. On Pentecost, Peter announced, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ." The word Lord means master. It refers to a potentate who is sovereign. This referred to Jesus the Christ. This is the King. And what does the phrase "sit on the right hand of God" mean? It was prophesied in the book of Psalms. Hebrews 1 and 13 refers to it, that it referred to Christ. Jesus also prophesied. Jesus said, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." Mark 14:62. He is now on God's right hand. On the right hand means he has been given supreme rule and rank and power and authority and preeminence and dominion. 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. Notice he was raised to sit on the throne. Acts 2 and verse 30. He was raised to sit on God's right hand. Acts 2 and verse 34. To sit on God's right hand means to sit on the throne of his kingdom. We also learn that he would be priest and king at the same time from Zechariah 6 and verse 13. He would be after the order of one named Melchizedek, of whom we read in Genesis 14 and also in the book of Hebrews. Melchizedek was a priest of God and the king of Salem at the same time. That Christ is priest now can be no denial. He is the priest of our profession. Therefore, he is king now, at the right hand of God now. Mark 16:9 says he was received into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Romans 8 affirms his priesthood and his kingship in effect concurrently, and it is now. Revelation 3 and verse 7, he has the key of David now, which denotes possession of authority. He is on the throne of heaven. Acts 7 and verse 49. The kingship of Christ is repeatedly acknowledged. For the sake of brevity, we could give you a whole list of these acknowledgments given by Jesus, by Nathanael, by Pilate, many passages of Scripture that show that his mother, the mother of James and John, the multitudes at his entry into Jerusalem, the thief on the cross, the superscription over the cross by the Apostle Paul, they all acknowledge the kingship of Christ. Now some contend that the rejection of Jesus by the Jews caused the Lord to postpone the establishment of his kingdom. But friend, they say he established the church as a temporary measure, a substitute, until he comes again. And when he comes again, he will then finally make good on the prophecies to establish the kingdom. There are so many approaches one can make with biblical basis to refute that false teaching, but this is not our prime theme. But Jesus did not change his mind because the Jews did not receive him. We must consider Romans 3 and verse 3. This refutes that false doctrine. Paul said, "But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Man's rejection of God's Son, man's rejection of his plan, does not and did not cause God to change anything regarding the coming of the kingdom. To contend for such a postponement demands the voiding of the prophecies of the Old Testament and the 84 inspired preachers in the New Testament, one of which was Christ himself. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, in the parable of the householder and the wicked servants, they showed the misdeed of the servants, but the misdeed of the servants did not alter the plans of the householder. Some then, as now, misunderstood the nature of his kingdom and thought Jesus would establish an earthly power rivaling Rome. But his kingdom is spiritual, he said, not earthly, not of this world, John 18:36. His kingdom is composed of people who are in the church, Colossians 1:13. It is a spiritual kingdom, Luke 17. It is within us, in the heart and in the mind. It is a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2, 2-5, and offers spiritual sacrifices, Romans 12 and verse 1. And how long will Christ reign? As for the number of years, we cannot know. In one sense, his kingdom shall never end. In another sense, as far as existing as it does now, he will reign until he returns, when he shall deliver the kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15, 24-26. He will reign until death is destroyed, which will occur with his coming and the resurrection of all. There is an earthly phase of the kingdom, the first dominion, Micah 4 and verse 8. But there is also a heavenly phase, 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. And how does one become a citizen of his kingdom? One must be born again to enter the kingdom, John 3, 3-5. And this demands obedience to the will of the Father. God's plan includes faith in Christ, repentance of sins, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ. There can be no doubt, if one relies on the testimony of the inspired record, that Christ came with the intention of becoming king over a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom had been predicted through the ages. It did have its beginning on the first Pentecost after his death, burial, and resurrection. The kingdom and the church are one and the same. He is head of the church. He now reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords, the only potentate. Yes, Christ is king. And he said, to this end was he born, and for this purpose he came into the world. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.